So we're speaking about the power of godliness this month, the power of godliness, and I don't know, it's been a good month for me, just going to the Word, just reading, studying, and allowing God to speak to me about godliness. And I just realized even yesterday evening, I was just praying, and I just felt the Holy Spirit just lay on my heart that the godliness is what causes things to stay or to stick or to last. When there's godliness involved, it causes something to last so much longer than it would otherwise. It's like really leaving a legacy. And 2 weeks ago, while we were praying before for church, I saw a picture. You see, God sometimes speaks in pictures. So it's like in your mind's eye, you see a picture, but you know this is God speaking. And I saw like a room, and I saw a snake. And I saw that the snake wanting to get into this room or into this house, but it couldn't get in until it found a gap. And the gap was an idol. So there was this idol in the wall. The idol's a false god. And so the snake could get in there. And so I shared it a few weeks ago, but basically every sin, everything that you and I might be struggling with, behind it, there's an idol. The root of it, the source of it, is probably an idol, a false god. And we might think, oh no, but I don't worship the tree, and I don't worship the rock, you know. Anything can become an idol. Anything can morph into an idol. The moment something becomes too important to us and replaces God in our lives, it becomes an idol, and it becomes an access point for the enemy in our lives. So do you experience evil sometimes in your life? Do you experience things just go wrong? Do you experience like being tormented sometimes by evil maybe? Or you're battling with sin in certain areas of your life? There's an idol. And it's actually liberating because you just say, okay, there's an idol. Let's deal with the idol. But so often we deal with the fruit. We're trying to, don't be sin, don't sin, don't sin. And then you sort of deal with the fruit, but behind it, there's actually another God. There's something else that's taken up its place in your heart. You see, if a false God reigns on the inside, we will be conformed to its image. It will lead us astray. Okay, so we spoke about that, and we asked this question, why do sincere Christians sometimes act in ungodly ways, or like hypocrites? An idol. Something else is becoming too important. That's why I'm acting out of character. Okay, so this morning, I want to tell you, Jesus is watching you. Oh, that's so encouraging, don't you think? Jesus is watching you. Okay, it's going to be positive, don't worry. But it's a good place to start. All of us are worshipers. Do you know that? All of us are worshipers. Every one of us, we're a worshiper. We were made to be a worshiper. It's like a bird was made to fly. A river was made to flow. You were made to worship. You're going to worship. And if you're not worshiping the one true God, you're going to worship something else. It's been said the opposite of theism, having faith in God, is not atheism. The opposite of theism is idolatry. You're going to worship something else. You're going to worship your intellect. You're going to worship your money, your whatever. But the opposite of theism is idolatry, not theism. So we were created to worship. So my question this morning, what are you worshiping? What are you worshiping? What are you worshiping? And you see, we can sing songs like we did this morning. You can sing, you can look like worshiping Jesus, but your heart can be somewhere else. As the scripture says, Jesus said, these people, they draw near to me with their mouths, but their hearts are far from me. So one's heart can be somewhere else, but you can be worshiping on the outside. So what is worship? When you subtract the religious language, worship is the built-in human reflex to put your hope in something or someone and then chase after it. When you subtract the religious language, that means every human being on the face of this earth, they're worshiping. You can go to any society, any city, any town, any far-off tribe. You don't have to ask, are they worshiping something? You can just ask, what are they worshiping? Everyone's worshiping something. Everyone's worshiping something. So when you subtract the religious language, worship is the built-in human reflex to put your hope in something or someone, and then you chase after it. See, that's what's so amazing when you fall in love with Jesus. When you've placed your hope in Him, it's like everything in you wants to chase after Him. You want to spend time with Him. You want to worship. You want to, it's like, there's not enough time in the day. I want to know Him. So you're chasing after Him with everything within you when you put your hope in Him. So the question is, what are you chasing? Because that will reveal what you worship. What are you chasing? Where's your heart at? What are you chasing? You see, anything can come to replace the lordship of Christ in our lives. Your career, family, stuff, even religion. And that's where I want to get to this morning. Even religion, a form of godliness, can replace the essence of God in our lives. It's called dead religion. It looks wonderful. It looks religious. It looks, whoa, that guy's passionate. He has his hands in the air. He must love Jesus so much. Does he? You see, we're going to ask a few questions this morning. But we need to evaluate. You see, the Word of God is like a mirror. It's like it comes to reveal to you, what do you really look like? What's happening on the inside? So career, family, stuff, religion, anything can replace God. So that's what human beings do. We worship. Right alongside breathing and eating and drinking. Right alongside eating, breathing, drinking. It's like with my boy Vian. It's like playing computer games. It's like right up there, breathing and then computer. Yeah, he's just. So we all have our things. But we identify the things we want, both good and bad, and then we make sacrifices to get them, and we worship. What are you worshiping? You see, now, this is not to condemn at all. It's actually liberating. The moment you realize, whoa, my heart is turned away from Jesus, when you realize, whoa, my heart is chasing after other stuff, it's liberating. Because then you realize, that's what's keeping me from intimacy with Jesus. You see, every idol becomes like a block, a rock, a boulder between you and Jesus. So you could be spending time with the Lord. You could be reading the scriptures. You could be maybe put on a CD and you're worshiping. You think, this is really, there's nothing happening here. This is like dry. It's like eating. Going to McDonald's, 500 rands worth of McDonald's. You go big. And you bloated. Now you go to Grazia and they bring out the most wonderful meal to you. Do you want to eat it? It's like yesterday. Vian was at Dion's boy Stefan's party. And so after I told Vian, we're going to KFC. Now, KFC is his other god. Just next to computer games is KFC, burger and pops. So I told him, because I'm hungry, I'm trying to get him away from the house. He wants to keep playing with Michal. So I'm saying, let's go. I'm going to, okay, he doesn't want to go, bribe. Vian, we're going to KFC. I'm not hungry. Because he's ate all the cake and the sweets and the things, so he's not interested. And I think that's what happens to so many of us. We're so busy worshiping other things that it fills us to such a point that it's not Jesus time. It's like, not really interested. I've had my McDonald's unhealthy burger. And so I want to look at that. And at the root of all of this, and is that we're going to look at now dead religion, but also at the whole concept of the God of self. The God of self. So we're going to be looking at Matthew 23. So we're going to look at the different verses in Matthew 23, where Jesus comes and he confronts the religious crowd. He like rebukes them. You know, he says, "Woe to you, Pharisees, scribes and Pharisees, woe unto you." Meaning, guys, you're going to suffer. You're going to have pain. That's what woe means. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt like hell, you know. The way, the path that you're on, it's going to hurt. Okay, so I want to share this with us so we can help ourselves to not go into dead religion, but stay on the true. Okay, so Matthew 23, verse 5 to 7. Some years ago, a family member of mine committed adultery. And he was at his business, at his office. And then another guy came in. A guy he knew, a friend in a sense. He knew the guy. And this guy was a church leader. He was an elder in the church where he was at. Traditional church, he was an elder at the church. And now this elder comes to this other guy that committed adultery. He storms into his office and he puts his finger under his nose and say, "You terrible, you, how could you do that to your wife, and you this and you that." And he told him out, you know, told him how off he was. And then this guy that committed adultery told me a while later, he says, "What really offends him is that this elder guy is the guy who sleeps with prostitutes when he's on business trips. And he came to point his finger at the adulterer." And it's like, dude, sit down. Shut up. You have no right. You have no right to speak. There's no sense of godliness in your life to give you the right to come and speak to someone else about their ungodliness. And this is what so often happens amongst church leaders, I think, but in church, Christians in general. People who have fallen from the level of godliness, they lose all their integrity. You have no right to address anymore. You know, for us as Christians, if we do not have the moral high ground, we have no right to speak. Doesn't mean we're perfect. Doesn't mean we don't make mistakes. It just means don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a fake. Don't put up a mask. Be real. Okay, so that's the power of godliness. Now, Jesus comes and he exposes the religious crowd. It's a beautiful, powerful passage, Matthew 23. Now, verse 5, Jesus, now, but he's speaking to his own disciples and the people around him, and now he's speaking to them about the scribes and the Pharisees, the fakes. And he says, "But all their works they do to be seen by men." Can you say that? Seen by men. "They make their phylacteries broad." Phylactery is a small leather case that they put scripture in and they put it on their arms or on their foreheads. Okay, their phylacteries. "Broad and enlarge the borders of their garments." So their tassels, they had these tassels they wore on the border of their outer garments. Look, they prayer beads and things. So they made it big so everybody can see, "I have my scripture on my forehead." Big scripture. They actually took the Old Testament, they took the scriptures in Deuteronomy, literally where it said you must keep the scriptures before you the whole time. So they started to put it on their foreheads. They sort of missed the point, I think. But amazing, then it goes on and it says, "They love the best places at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues." And I'm wondering, what's the best seat in church here? I think it's the back row. Back row is the best seat. I'm kidding. "Greetings in the marketplaces, brother, good to see you." Yes. Everyone said, "Wow, these guys are so holy. Wow, man, look at those tassels. It's amazing." "And to be called by men rabbi, or like the titles thing, you know, being..." Have you met those guys? they give you a business card, apostle, prophet, something, something, international. You drive here in town, this little mini bitty church, small church, international. Get a life. That's like, wow, come on. Do international when you're international, okay? Otherwise, keep it humble. But it's amazing. It's amazing how we start to add things to build ourselves up, titles. And it's not just in church circles. I mean, obviously in business circles as well, you know, the title, this or that, and try to. But the point is that they do their works to be seen by men. In other words, they weren't serving the one true God. They weren't doing their works to be seen by God. They were doing their works to be seen by men. Why? Because their God was their image, the false image that they put out there. They were worshiping themselves, or this image of themselves. And so all that they did was to just, people must just think I'm awesome. They must just think I am deeply religious. They must see this. And then they forget that Jesus is watching. They forget that the real God is watching. He is actually seeing everything. But somehow they even deceive themselves to come to that point where it's all about what people say. Back at the ranch, shocking. Back at home, shocking. And so we need to ask ourselves, have we fallen into that trap as well? Have we come to a point where we're holding up a specific image and fighting for that image? It was funny yesterday. One of our life group members, we have a WhatsApp group. And then sometime during the morning, audio came through. And I listened, like, whoa, it was like funky music. And then another one comes through, another one comes through, another one comes through. So I think, okay, this is not on purpose. The phone is recording while she's driving and enjoying her music. So now I am thinking, now, what if your phone goes on to record at certain moments of your walk in life, or some of your conversations when you gossiped about somebody, about your pastor? You know, when you said something about your pastor wasn't so nice. What if I pray, Lord, may it go on to record every time. Every time there's gossip, Lord, may it record. That will bring the fear of God upon us. My goodness. But that was so classic. You know, it's like, oh, I just wish people don't see this. But I want to see you. God is seeing. He's seeing everything you do. He's looking at your heart right now. He's reading your thoughts right now. What's going through your head? He's seeing it. Who's your God? Who's your God? Is your ultimate to please Him? Or is your ultimate to fake it in front of people? Okay, and I don't think we have a massive problem in church. So I'm not like, it's just, we just want to keep the devil out. That's why we talking nice and straight this morning. Woohoo. Okay. So the hypocrite, all their works they do to be seen by men. And we need to evaluate ourselves, because it's easy to fall into that trap where you and I also start is about having this great image. Having this looking good, living for the praise of man, pleasing man, man pleasers, but not God pleasers. Okay, so we must be God pleasers. So as I said, Jesus is watching you. Revelation 2:23. This is Jesus in the book of Revelation. He appears to John the Apostle, and then he gives him words for different churches. So he encourages them. It's wonderful what you're doing here, but here and here and here, you need to deal with it. And then he says in verse 23, and all the churches shall know that I am He who searches the minds and hearts. Who searches the minds and hearts. And I will give to each one of you according to your works. Interesting. Okay, so in February, we did a series called Our God is Greater. And we were just telling you, you are awesome. And you are. We are awesome. Okay? Now we're looking at the other flip side of the coin. In Christ, we are blameless. In Christ, we are holy. In Christ, He's washed away all our sins. But now we have to look at the other flip. The flip side is Jesus, God sees everything. And he says here, I will give to each one of you according to your works. In other words, God is looking at what you're actually doing and he's going to give to you according to your works. The man or woman you are in secret is the man you truly are. The man or the woman that you are in secret is the man or the woman you truly are. That's who you really are. And that's who God sees. So, how's your secret life? What do you look like when no one is watching? We're going now after hypocrisy this morning, taking out a bazooka. Ka-ch! How do you look like, what do you look like when no one is watching? How do you treat your spouse behind closed doors? How do you treat your children when no one can see or hear? What websites do you visit when you're alone? What is running through your mind right now? Oh, shouldn't we come to church today? God sees all. He's omniscient, all-knowing, and he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. And so I'm trusting that this morning our hearts would shift from man-pleasing to God-pleasing. It only matters what he sees. It only matters what he is seeing. It doesn't matter what people are saying. So Jesus is watching you. But why is he watching you? He's not standing with a stick. Whoa, caught you out. Fatsue. No, he's standing, he's watching to reward you. He actually wants to reward you. He wants to reward you. He's looking at your life. He's seeing, okay, here's temptation now. What is she going to do? What is he going to do? Is he going to honor me? Is he going to turn his back on the temptation and obey me? If he does, I'm going to reward you. The biggest victories are not won in public, they're won in secret. That's where the real victories are. You win it in secret. It's when your fingers are doing the talking and you're going to the wrong websites and you say, stuff you. Off, 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 off. And you turn away, you run. Or whatever might be your challenge, whatever might be your area of vulnerability or weakness. What about just your thoughts? Do you sit in church with judgment in your heart? I mean, that's like, you don't sit in church with judgment in your heart. You can sit out there with judgment in your heart. I'm kidding. No, you mustn't do judgment at all in your heart. But do you sit with criticisms, accusations, offenses, lack of love? You know, Jesus is seeing all of it. He sees it. He sees it. He says, I want to help you. I want to help you. Who are you worshiping? Who are you worshiping? Worshiping dead religion, building up a good image, or let me reward you. Look at this. Matthew 6, verse 4. It says, there's a few verses that speaks of this, but it says, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. It's beautiful. Do it as unto him. Do what is right unto him. Honor him when no one sees. When you can get away with something, you know no one will ever know, I can take this chocolate now. No one will know. But he knows, he sees. The man you are in secret, or the woman you are in secret, is the true reflection of you. A true reflection of you is the one in secret. As I said, you know, it's like King David. He killed the lion and the bear when no one was watching. And so God promoted him to a point where he killed Goliath when two nations were watching. But he had to win the secret battles. And I really feel that's what God wants. He wants us to overcome in our thoughts. There are few things as tormenting for a sincere Christian to be bound by some form of sin. Some form of, it can be anything. It can be just hating someone. You can be just being offended with someone. You just despise them. Well, you'll be tormented by them. God wants to set you free. He wants to set you free. So what's the test of the hypocrite? The first one is, they say and they do not do. Matthew 23, 1 to 3. So we're just going to two tests and then three solutions. Going to just sort of go quickly. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their deeds, for they say and they do not do. Let's say that. They say and do not do. So these are leaders, and Jesus speaking to their disciples and saying, guys, do what they say, but don't do what they do. So maybe you have a hypocritical boss or leader or someone somewhere. It can even be your spouse. Don't allow that to offend you. Still do what they say, but do not do what they do. So question, do you preach what is right, or do you say what is right, but you do not do what you say? For instance, husbands, fathers, you tell your kids, eat vegetables, but you don't, because you're the boss. That's a small example, but it's hypocritical. I've shared this before, but before we had a child, Sonika was like, Andre, you really need to eat your salad and your vegetables and so forth, because, you know, when we have a child, you know, we must show them the way. I'm thinking, no, I'm dad. They must do it. But looking back, it's hypocritical. It's wrong. And it's a small example, but it can add other things as well, like dad or someone could say to the kids, make up your bed, make up your room. You know, it's a mess. But you're a slob. It's a chaos around you everywhere. You know, conviction hitting now a few places. I can see it. I make up the bed in the mornings. This is now a Pharisaical boast. That's about all I do. But I boast on that. Every time I'm in trouble for not doing something, I make the bed. So anyway, so we small steps for us, little by little. But we need to evaluate ourselves. Are we expecting things from others that we don't do ourselves? Because it's not inspiring. It offends people. You know, I think even worse, I think for us as parents, we can lose our kids' hearts. Because, you know, dad's a hypocrite. He's a joke, you know. I gave a small example. I'm talking about more serious stuff. It's probably more of an issue. But it starts at home. That's the bottom line. It starts at home. You can't fake it at home. Anyone married here know that? You can't fake it. You can fake it at work. You can fake with your friends. At home, they see it all. So you can't fake it at home. So the question I'm always asking myself is, what does Sonica say about me? Because that will determine if I'm a hypocrite or not. So we need to ask ourselves those questions. What does our spouse say about us? I'm thinking, like, so many pastors have lost their own kids because of not living it, not showing the way. Kids would just say, well, dad's a hypocrite, you know, he says all the right stuff on Sunday, but at home, it's just shocking. So I know for me, that's like very serious, but it can be for anyone, any Christian, especially if you are trusting that your kids return to the Lord. We must show the way. The essence of leadership is example. The essence of leadership is example. If the example is missing, there is not real leadership. And so it needs to be so at work, needs to be at home, it needs to be every area of our lives. We need to evaluate, what am I saying and am I doing it? If I'm saying something and I'm not doing it, then I need to go apologize to someone. And say, I'm sorry, I'm still working at this. You know, so there's a humility that I believe God wants us. Otherwise, you know, and the power of godliness is to draw people to Christ. The power of ungodliness is you immunize them against Christ and they will never turn to him unless it's a supernatural miracle. How many people have you met, I've met, that said, I want nothing to do with Christians? Nothing. I've experienced their hypocrisy. And so it's fighting for people's hearts. It's fighting for people's lives. Are we living it? Do you say and not do? Do you say but you don't do it? Let's change that. Another test of the hypocrite, verse 4. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. So these religious leaders, they were like preaching, you must do this and this and this and this and this and this. And then they go home and they don't do none of that. None. Zip. You know, and that's offensive. I've experienced this a few times in my life where a leader or someone would say one thing and even preach stuff. And I'm sitting there, goeie os. My yes must know a shocker, is she nie? You're shocking. I can't believe you preaching that. And if I look back at your house and your home and your family, it's like, sit down. You know? Anyway, my issues. I don't know if you relate to this, but for me, to take someone seriously, it's not how big their church is, it's not the number of people following them, it's, are you living it? Are you living it? You know, so when I pick up, I don't think you're living it, it's like, speak to the hand. But a hypocritical leader, father, husband, mother, boss, can place a heavy burden on the followers. You know, a leader should inspire people through their example. It's like, wow, it's awesome to serve this boss. Because they're kind, they're gentle, yes, they're firm, but they show the way through their example. That's inspiring. It's like, yes, I'm in. On the other side, it's like, oh, this guy's a joke. You know, it's like, oh, expect this, but look at him. Look at what he does. You know, it's uninspiring. It's a heavy burden. Ever experienced that? Anybody experienced that? Man, I have. It's a challenge. And so people then become disillusioned with the job or the business. They become disillusioned in their marriage. They become disillusioned with their parents. They become disillusioned with their church leaders. Hypocritical behavior is uninspiring. Would you agree? It's uninspiring. It's a heavy burden. Okay, so there's a challenge for us. All the leaders in the house, and we're all that. Wherever you find yourself, you're a leader. Mom, dad, business, wherever. Let's live it right. Okay, so becoming authentic. Quickly, verse 5 to 7 again, but all their works they do to be seen by men. So we must be different. We must do all the works we do must be to be seen by God. Lord, I'm doing this for you. Everybody else was thinking this is a nothing, this is nobody, this is an unimportant something. But Jesus, I'm doing this for you. And I know you're watching because you're going to reward me when I do the right thing when no one is watching. No one is watching. The moment we begin to live for the applause of man, to please people, then we become hypocritical. Then we start having a false God, this false image. Becoming a man pleaser is a huge trap. Jesus is watching you. Let's do it for him. When you do a donation or give a donation, when you do a kind deed, God, this is for you. Because you love this person, I'm doing this for you. I'm not doing this to look good. I'm doing this because I love you. And I'm just thinking, Christians should be the most dependable, trustworthy people in the whole world. Would you agree? We should. You should never have to bring in law enforcement. You should never have to check up on some. Maybe they're stealing some of the money. It shouldn't. Christians, knowing that Jesus is watching them, it's like, wow, I could walk away with 1,000 rand, but I'm not going to. Jesus, you're seeing this, and I'm not going to get away with this. Do you realize that? Maybe you don't need to hear this, but I'm going to say it in any case. Do you realize you're not going to get away with anything? Nothing. There's going to come a judgment day, and if we have not dealt with those things before judgment day, we will pay the price for it. You won't get away with it. Jesus is watching to reward you, But if you're a fake, you're a hypocrite, you're scheming. I'm just trying to offend all the schemers out of church this morning. Don't know about anybody, but I'm just saying if they are. We need to deal with it. Let's be different. Let's be different. Let's be a church where we never have a scandal, never have adultery, never have someone in the newspapers for stealing this or stealing that or messing up here or messing up there. Let's be different. Let's be a congregation where people say, the people in that, if you can't trust all Christians, but the people from that church, when they say it, they will do it. Their word is their bond. They have integrity. They have humility. They are kind. They live for Jesus. I want to be so. But you need to deal with the idols. Because if you have an idol, you're going to worship that idol and you're going to do what that idol wants you to do. So if money is your God, you're going to steal. Doesn't matter how sincere you are. And so one needs to deal with that. Okay, so the first one of being authentic, do your works to be seen by God. Then second one, becoming authentic is cleanse your heart. Cleanse your heart. Matthew 23, verse 25 to 28. 25 to 28. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. What does woe mean? Sorrow awaits you. It's going to hurt like hell. You're going to lose your kids, their hearts. You're going to lose your wife or your spouse if you act like a hypocrite. People are just not going to like you. And God's not going to reward you. So woe to you. Okay, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish. You look nice on the outside. But inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. It's the worship of self. Blind Pharisee. It brings blindness. It's like, ooh, you can judge everyone else. Man, scripture. Brother, you need this scripture for you. This scripture is for you. This scripture is for you. And they read it. Whoa, nothing's for them. It's all for someone else. Do you know that the scriptures is primarily for ourselves? Before it's for anybody else. Read it for yourself. I often do this when I'm preaching or preparing for preaching. I'm saying, this is for me. So I am attacking the hypocrite in me this morning. I'm killing it, shooting it 10 times. First cleanse the inside. First cleanse the inside of the cup and dish that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, sorrow awaits you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. We all qualify for this if we confess one thing on a Sunday, but we live something else on a Monday or Wednesday evening or Saturday night. 24/7 Christianity. If it's not 24/7, then something's wrong. So we need to cleanse our hearts. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We need to deal with the root issue. Okay, how do you deal with the root issue? Is to admit it. Man, in this area of my life, I'm a fake. I preach holiness, but in this area, I'm a fake. I'm a hypocrite. I'm a joke in this area of my life. I need to deal with this. Why? Because we love God so much, and He sees it all. You are not faking it in front of Him. How about this one? Someone that's serious about living a pure life, you know. Sometimes guys would know afterwards they've now messed up, they have now watched porn or whatever, and now they phone, oh, I stuffed up. Me too. Yesterday, me too. We stuffed up. Surprise the devil. You on your way to stuffing up, you realize, oh, I have to confess. Why don't I confess before the time? Then I never get into it. Huh? This is profound. So you phone your friend. You're saying, man, I'm feeling like messing up today. Pray with me. I want to honor God. I want to live a holy life. I want to be pure. So I'm speaking to you now. You pray together. You deal with it. And Jesus is watching. He's saying, well done. Well done. The victory is not being tempted. The victory is, I'll do anything to be pure. I'll do anything to be holy. There's this one guy, has this course for guys battling with sexual sins. And he was an airplane pilot. So he would travel the world, different hotels and everywhere. And then in these hotels, there would be like porn channels for free. And he really battled. So he said what he started doing, what he calls radical amputation. Jesus said, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. So he, metaphorically speaking. So what he started to do is he would go into his room and put his suitcase and things down. He'd go to the television, plug it out, pull out the cords, pick it up and carry it out. Put it in the hallway or take it to reception and saying, sorry, I don't want it. I'm thinking Jesus is saying, man, I'm going to bless you. This guy started a ministry which is helping hundreds of thousands of people battling. It's called settingcaptivesfree.com. Settingcaptivesfree.com. Don't write it down immediately if someone will see. Settingcaptivesfree.com. But it's a website to help if you're battling with, say, if you want to stop smoking, it's about smoking. If you're battling with alcohol, there's calling it new wine course, I think. And the purity course is for teenagers as well. It's for free. You log in, daily devotionals. Wow, I wasn't planning to go there. But anyway, do you want to please God? Do you want to know Him intimately? Radically deal with the areas of vulnerability in your life. We all have different issues, different challenges. Or are you faking it? Is it okay for you to mess up, battle, be useless, feel condemned? Don't do that. You can be free. Okay, and then last one, becoming authentic. So first one is do your works to be seen by God. Secondly, cleanse your heart. Go tell someone I'm battling. Let's pray together. Cleanse your heart. Thirdly, humble yourself, be a servant. Matthew 23:11-12. Jesus, in the midst of this, where he's tackling these Pharisees and scribes and the fakes, then he says, but he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. Greatest. Let's say greatest. He who is greatest among you shall be servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. If we are God pleasers, then His opinion matters. And God is saying, you serve, you're great. You put someone else before yourself, that's what serving is about. You're putting someone else's needs before yourself, your own. You say, I'm going to serve somebody. I'm going to bless somebody. And God is saying the greatest people on earth are those who serve others. Man's perspective, the greatest is the CEO and the fancy this and the smart that. Jesus is saying, man, I'm really not interested. Not interested. It means zip to me. Greatness is measured in service. Greatness is measured in service. So we're going to have communion now. If the quickly ushers get the communion elements for us. And I think God is looking for a humility from us to say, God, I want to know you. And I'll do anything to know you intimately. Whatever you're battling with, whatever you're wrestling with, and I just feel that there are people here, you are offended. You are offended with someone or something. Maybe church leaders, maybe someone in your life, but you're offended. That's also a sin. If you do not forgive from the heart, you are also holding on to sin. And you bring in an idol into your life. I prayed before the service and over the weekend that God would convict us. I trust there's conviction this morning. Conviction leads to freedom. Condemnation leads us away from God. Conviction leads us to Jesus, and we're set free. So let's turn to the Lord this morning in our hearts. And this morning, I'm not preaching to your neighbor. I'm preaching to you and to myself. Let's receive. Let's allow God the Holy Spirit to come and shine His light on our hearts and to set us free. So if you've received your communion elements, you're welcome to spend a minute or so in prayer. Just you and the Lord. Allow the light of the Holy Spirit to shine. So God, we thank you for your presence here. You love us so much that you would impress the truth upon our hearts. And God, this is our prayer. Lord, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to be a fake. I want to be godly. I want to honor you. My every action bring glory to the name of Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray for each one here this morning that we would know how much you love us. You want to set us free from other gods. That we may know you and know you intimately and be a beautiful reflection of our beautiful God. And so, Lord, I pray, Lord, for these mirrors, each of us that's a mirror, come and clean, come and wash the mirror so that your reflection may be seen in us. Lord, help us to cleanse our hearts. Help us, Lord, to humble ourselves, to be honest, to confess, to bring these areas in the light where we are faking it. God, we acknowledge today that you are watching and you're seeing everything. But you are watching not to condemn. You are watching to set us free. And you are watching to reward us when we honor you despite difficult circumstances. Thank you, Lord, that you are watching to reward. Just sense in my heart that God is so proud of so many of us. He's proud of us even when we just try, even when we fail. He's still proud of us when we try. And so God, we pray, Lord, that you would empower each and every one of us to be transformed into the image of Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to share this one thing. What is humility? Humility is to share your weaknesses with someone. Humility is to share the areas that you're battling with. Humility is to say it, to share it, so you can be set free. And I so want to encourage you, if there's areas you're battling in, bring it into the light so the Lord can set you free. Okay. Just want to pray for the bread. God, we thank you. We want to be different. So we come to the cross. We come to the provision of the cross. Set us free. We declare that, God, we will be authentic. We will be real. We will be kind. We will be loving. We will be humble. We will bring honor to the name of the one who died for us on the cross. Thank you, Jesus. You've done it all so that we can be different. Different. from the rest of the world. Stand out. Be a bright light in the midst of great darkness. Lord, may our lights shine. In Jesus' name.